Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
You're listening to Believe You Me with Michael the Count Bisbing.
You know my name yet?
And Anthony Lionheart Smith.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. We have Gilbert Burns El Tarino joining us in just a second to give us the lowdown. His thoughts, obviously, he's fighting Masvidal in a couple of weeks. His thoughts on Colby Covington. Colby Covington will be joining the show on Monday as well. A lot going on with Colby Covington right now. A lot of death threats, a lot of people getting threatened, but we're going to get into all that stuff and we'll wait to hear from El Tarino. But while he joins, while we wait for him, what is going on in your world, Anthony? Are you a happy man?
I'm okay. I'm all right. It's, you know how it is. It's just deep in training camp. So I think I'm starting to turn the corner though. You know, I'm starting to like get in the groove. You know, it takes a couple weeks, 3 weeks to...
What is the biggest challenge for you right now?
It was adjusting to the altitude. The altitude was kicking my ass. It was, you got wicked headaches. It's hard to stay hydrated. Doesn't matter how much water you drink. It's so just adjusting to that again was the toughest part. And now things are getting easier. You know, the training sessions are insane, but it's going well. It's going well.
Yeah, well, that's good. You want the hard training sessions. People don't realize how hard it is getting ready for a fight, physically and mentally. Johnny Walker, while we just wait for Gilbert, because he will be jumping on in any second now. I don't expect you to go into too much strategy because you don't want to give away your game plan. But, you know, when you look at him, big, tall, long, rangy, explosive, what is some of the biggest challenges that he presents that you have to overcome? Or is it literally what I just said?
I think it's just what you said. It's just his athleticism. You know, he's a little bit unpredictable. He's a super freak athlete. So he's fast and explosive. And I think just boxing him in and just forcing him to, I think that first 5 minutes will be tough. I think he's probably one of the tougher first round fighters, you know, in the entire division. But I think it's at 501, it's different, you know, into that second round, you get him settled
in. And your main event, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Five rounds, baby.
Yeah, just drag him deep, you know. And
drag him into those deep waters, please, for the love of God.
Yeah, I think once he's settled in and he's forced to slow down and be technical and work through the positions, I think that's when I take over.
What was his last fight? Who did he just fight?
Paul Craig.
Brazil.
Yeah.
And what was that? How did he? I know it was first round, right? Pretty quick.
Yeah. Paul got that single leg and didn't let go of it.
And it
was a good performance as far as Johnny Walker goes. It really showcased his explosiveness and just his power and his athleticism to be able to bounce around on one leg and land those hard shots. But some of that is on Paul Craig. You know, like you start taking big shots like that, you got to let go of the leg and kind of protect your head. It's at that point.
Well, don't set that and bloody talk by the big Paul Craig. Right?
Never, my friend. Never, never.
That's my friend, mate. Don't you bloody dare.
I said the same thing to him. I said the same thing to his face in Brazil. Like I get it. You got to get the fight to the ground, but you also got to have the ability to be well-rounded enough to be able to let go of the leg and work your way back to it. So at that point, like he didn't have Johnny Walker's leg. Johnny Walker had both his hands.
What weight were you when you started training camp?
I was like 235.
And what are you now? I'm
220. I was like 220 after practice today. So right where I need to be.
We are joined by the one and only Gilbert Tarino Burns. Or is it El Tarino?
Tarino.
What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. Good. Obviously getting ready for UFC 287, Jorge Masvidal. Massive fight. How's it all going?
Doing good. You know, training came very tough. This is going to be the hardest week. And then like next week, you're going to slow it down a little bit. But yeah, today I had a great sparring. Yeah, feeling good. Feeling very good about it.
Yeah, Gilbert, you know, you've been in a lot of fights, but this one feels bigger. You know what I mean? Do you feel the difference in the magnitude of this fight just because it is Masvidal and he is a superstar? I mean, obviously you've been in there with Kamaru and Khamzat and you've been in big fights, but does this one feel different?
I think I'm going to feel, I didn't feel yet. I think 5 weeks I'm going to feel a little bit more, but it came in a great time. You know, I just finished one camp, took a little time off and got back to another camp. I think that's the best, you know, and then staying healthy, staying like good, it helped me, but it didn't feel like a big fight yet. I think 5 weeks I'm going to feel right now. I don't feel it. Like, I just feel like every other fight, you know, and this is going to be my number 20 fight in the UFC. So,
wow,
that's a big deal, too.
Yeah, obviously, last time out, you got the arm triangle over Neil Magny, round one, took hardly any damage. I mean, what a performance that was. By the way, congratulations. It was so technical. You did the right thing. You waited and waited and waited on the outside. And then when the time was right, you exploded, took him down and got the submission. So congrats. Jorge Masvidal, right? Yeah. Tell me about the challenges that he possesses for you. How do you feel about the guy? What is your relationship? All that good stuff.
No, you're okay. I respect him. He respects me in the same way, but I think he's a gamer, you know. He's a guy, I had to break down a lot of his videos, watch over and over again, and he did a great job, even with Kobe. You know, Kobe had a hard time taking him down, especially on the beginning. He has a very good takedown defense, overrated on the way I see. He defends very, very good, and he can grapple you. He's back against the floor. If he does get taken down, he can grapple you. Very tricky with the striking. Do both stance very good, hits hard, good boxing, good kicks, good knees, elbows. He's a veteran, you know, 51 fights. And I think now with Leon beating Kamaru, he get extra motivation. You know, the last like 3 weeks that we have, two training weeks and the 5 week, I think he get a little bit more motivated come to the fight. And I like it because everything goes good. I don't want people to say, oh, he beat a guy that, you know, he's on his way out, the guy that's losing. No, I want a motivated guy. I want a guy that, oh, see, Gilbert was in danger, but he put on this guy. That's what I want people say, you know. But I think he's very dangerous. Dangerous everywhere. Well-rounded. I think the weakness might be the cardio. You know, sometimes you can see, like, after a couple of fights, he put the arms up, deep breath. That's the only thing, but for sure a little bit grappling and wrestling, but I think overall he's a well-rounded guy and I'm excited for this fight.
Do you think you get a finish? You know, before the Magny fight, you talked about, you know, wanting to get finishes and be impressive and have these breakout moments instead of just going in and dominating people because you're trying to work your way back to a title fight and you want impressive wins. Do you see yourself getting a finish over a guy that is so crafty and a veteran and been in there, you know, with the best guys? He's been around forever. He's really good at staying safe.
Yeah, that's going to be the challenge. That's what I've been doing the whole freaking training camp. One thing is you go to a practice and get by, you know, and just finish your practice good. And another thing is you put in pressure, you put in the tempo, you put in like a lot of pressure. That's what I've been doing. And I think I'm going to get a finish. I think that's my goal. I don't want to just be Masvidal unanimous. I have nightmares with that. After the fight, freaking hearing Bruce Buffer voice, oh, by unanimous decision, I don't want that. I don't want to buy a finish. I want to buy KO, TKO, submission. I want to finish this fight. I don't want decision. I'm not. If it goes to a decision, I'd be very disappointed in myself. I want to finish this guy.
This is kind of like a home, obviously you're Brazilian, but this is kind of like a home match for both of you in Miami. You know, you're from, where do you live? Is it Boca Raton?
Boca Raton, yeah.
Yeah, and he's actually in Miami. Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of support for both of you there. So the atmosphere is going to be incredible. I've got one question for you. Can we take the hat off and see the afro?
Oh, let's come see on, it.
He's coming.
That's the most dangerous Gilbert Burns out
he's coming,
there.
He's coming.
Yeah, right. I'm going. It's a hometown matchup. Talking about me. I've got one question. Take the hat off. we went to Twitter, and the amount of people on there were saying that the hair is fire. They love it, and all the rest of it. Looking good, brother. Looking good. Feeling good. Thank you. I'm assuming.
Thank you. Yeah, feeling good. It's kind of like I got to give that to George. You know, it's a little bit more his house. You know, like he's grow up here in Miami, born and raised here. Fought in those crazy fights that we see, like back in the days in the backyard was here. I think the crowd might boo me a little bit, you know. I got that. I don't care. But even with the Leon fight, remember I was right. Unfortunately, because I want Kamaru to win, I was right. I said Leon's gonna win. All that gonna affect, you know. I don't think he's gonna look good, and I was right on point. Remember when we talk about it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. What did you think of that fight?
I think Leon fought very, very, very smart. I think I knew Luca was here at the house and we were watching. And then I say, oh, I think Leon going to kick so much in this fight. He's going to try to stay relaxed, control a little bit more the distance. Maybe circle if Kamaru coming, try to work the way up, block the takedowns. But I think he's going to kick so much. And then after the fight, I say, I told you, bro, that's what I thought. You know, those guys are very smart. And I think Kamaru felt a little bit of pressure, you know, felt too much worry about that kick. The hand was there the whole time. So when your hands are up, very hard to block body kicks, very, very hard to do a good feint to go to a shot whenever your hands are too much here. Very hard to get it going. And then I think Kamaru feint wasn't there. Like you can see after one knee, he stopped fainting, he stopped moving. I think he felt it was too quick for Kamaru to fight back for the title. He should take a little bit more time, get mentally accept that you lost and kind of get that hungry back and fight very hungry and put a pressure. But I think Kamaru didn't fight his best and Leon fought his very, very best.
Gilbert, I got two questions here. When you watched Leon and Kamaru fight, you said you think that probably motivated Masvidal because obviously, you know, the Usman fight is probably not one he's going to get again if Usman retains the title because he's already been beaten twice. Did you get a sense of like a little bit extra motivation because it is a fresh champion? It's a new guy that you haven't fought. It's always easier to get the first matchup than a rematch. How did you feel watching Leon get the win?
To be completely honest, it didn't matter so much. I was happy for Leon, you know, guys been freaking working very hard. And we can see like COVID, Hamza cancel, this and that. Can't put the guy out of the rankings. And I respect that he keep hustling, keep fighting, and he got a win. But I felt a little bit for Kamaru, not such a dominated champion. And go out on that way to losing streak. So, but it didn't change so much, to be honest. I think you gotta do what you gotta do. I gotta keep finishing these guys. I'm gonna show up. I don't think I have Dana White privilege. So I gotta work very hard and try to get a finish. And another thing, too, they don't say my name so much, and then I like it to be the dark horse. I like to be the guy that people not talking. And that motivates me more than Leon winning. But the people that they say like too much about Kobe right now, and it may be a little bit of Bilal Muhammad, a little bit of Shafiq, I like it that they don't say my name. And April 8th, I just want to like put a lot of pressure on this guy, make a finish, and then they're going to remind, you know, give a little bit of remind for these guys. That motivates me more than changing the champion and everything, you know, like, oh, okay. They don't say, even the fact of Leon saying like, if George wins, he's next. And then if Burns wins, if he wins, we'll see. Like, what do you mean? Like, okay, I'm not here to judge no one. You do whatever you want. As a champion, you need to make the most of it. You got to make good money. You got to get big fights. I get it, but I got to remind people April 8th.
That leads me right into the next one. When Dana at the presser says, you know, kind of no matter what, Colby gets the next title shot. You know, there's other big matchups coming. Obviously, your fight with George is huge. I mean, I think that's got a lot of title fight implications going into that. And then Colby kind of, you know, he comes from the back, from behind the curtain, weighs in, and then just kind of fucks everything up for everybody. Be honest. Like, did that genuinely bother you a little bit? Like, or are you just kind of just grinding and saying, fuck it, just worry about yourself?
To be honest, I got to give it up to this guy. He's freaking smart. That's what I saw. Like, man, this guy's so smart. He came out of nowhere because March 5th, he made 1 year that he fought Masvidal. That was March 5th last year. And I was just about, man, if that guy doesn't fight, they're going to kick him out of the ranks. And then out of nowhere, that guy's coming away. He just said, man, this freaking guy is so smart. I got to give it to him. He was just like, man, I think he's a great fighter. I kind of decided, and I'm not pushing no one down to raise myself up. I'm not going to talk shit about this guy. But I got to give it up to Colby. He's freaking smart. This guy doing good decisions. Hey. I got to give it up to him. And then we'll see now. Now the pressure is on Dana. He's in the UFC. He's on Leon. Let's see. I have an opportunity to make these guys change the decisions. You know, I gotta go out there, be so impressive that people, oh, shit, it might be Burns time right now. So, and I'm going to take that, but he's freaking smart. I got to give it out to Kobe. Like, man, that was the best decision he could have ever had.
Obviously, as a welterweight contender, one of the biggest names, when you see Leon defend the belt like that, so, you know, it's kind of done with Kamaru for now. I'm not saying he can't come back, but Leon and Kamaru, that's over, okay? Yeah. And now it's time for Leon to see if he can defend against all the other contenders. Does that excite you? Does that give you, you know, it's like, wow, I can feel it. I can feel a title fight. If I beat Masvidal, of course, there's Colby. But all you contenders now, do you see it as like a new lease of life in the welterweight division?
Yes. I think Kamaru is going to take a big time off right now. He should rest a little bit. Guy, I don't know how he keep fighting. Guy has so many injuries. And I think Leon has a couple options now, you know, like that's the only thing. If Belal fights Shavkat, that kind of, he passed by a little bit. If Kobe fights, there's a lot of if, you know, and I have the opportunity to go out there and put doubts on Dana's mind, like, oh shit, I think we're gonna put Burns first. So that's the way I'm thinking. And I don't mind. Sometimes it doesn't come in our way, right? You guys know more than everybody. Like, sometimes you gotta hustle extra, a little bit extra. Sometimes maybe one more fight, sometimes two more fights. I'm gonna try to establish myself as the next contender, next title fight, or my next fight, but I might go out there and beat the shit on Masvidal and they still not give it to me. So,
yeah,
it is what it is. So sometimes it doesn't go, but I have a chance to kind of put it down on those guys' mind, and that's exactly what I'm going to do.
What happens, and this is a hypothetical situation. Let's just say Leon fights Colby. Leon beats Colby. International Fight Week. Leon's still the champion. Couple of months later, Conor McGregor knocks out Michael Chandler and they make Conor McGregor versus Leon Edwards. What do you say then, Gilbert?
Shit.
Ay, carayo.
Shit.
I'm kidding. No, you're messing with me. That's a real question.
That can't happen, you know. That literally can't happen. Or the opposite. Or Kobe beats Leon and Kobe fights Conor McGregor. Yeah, it can't happen. I don't know. then I gotta shit. Give me Bilal Muhammad. Give me the next guy. Give me the next guy. I gotta just keep. I'm not gonna stop and wait. That's one thing that I can say right now. I'm not just gonna. Let's say I'm the number one contender right now. I'm not just gonna sit down and wait. You know, I think I gotta stay active. It's just the way I feel better. It's just the way I feel alive. I gotta be competing. You know, and we'll see. I hope that doesn't happen. But if it happens, I'm like,
no, I know. It's a stupid question, but you never know because it could happen. We went to Twitter. I'm going to throw a few quick Twitter questions at you, then we'll let you go because I know you're very busy. You've got training and things. So, and we appreciate your time, Gilbert. Thank you. Sure. First question here is Odd Smoker Steve. What's his favorite local restaurant in Miami? Pappy Steakhouse?
Oh, no, I have a couple Brazilian places right here. Very good. I like the ones like 10 minutes from the house. Picanha, Brazil. Very good here. Like that's my favorite one. Local, super quick. Great food, fresh. That's my local favorite one.
What is a good Brazilian dish? Because like obviously I've had the churrascaria, right? Yeah. You know, but what is like a good, like traditional Brazilian dish? It's not just meat.
No. We have a bunch of different ones. We have most are meat, to be honest. It's rice and beans. We do the yuca flour farofa. We do salad and then we do meat. But we have so many. We have polenta. You know polenta?
I don't think you ever saw
this one. The yellow one. Then we have...
You know what that is, Anthony? Polenta?
I don't. No.
Yeah, no. It's kind
of
like...
I've heard of it. I think I've had it.
It can go two ways. Like,
yeah. Anthony, do you know?
The polenta is the way it is, like it's coming from a flour that you can make it a sweet or you can make it like salt. It's just like a oatmeal kind of, but not okay. Different flour.
Right.
But it's a very Brazilian, like we make a polenta and then we put a little meat on it. That's a very good one. My wife does very good.
Oh, how do you feel about Anthony fighting Johnny Walker, one of your very good, you know, he's a Brazilian. How do you feel about this?
Oh, you're fighting Johnny Walker for sure. I'm not even paying attention.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. That's a crazy fight. That guy is a horse. You got to watch out because on the beginning, he's going to freaking
come crazy
and wild.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
He's lowered down a lot after the first round. So you got to watch out in that first round. That's a good fight.
How's his jiu-jitsu?
I don't think he's a high level. I don't think. I think for sure he can grapple a little bit, but I don't think he's the highest level. I think.
I didn't think so either.
Very strong. I heard very strong. But I think whenever you chew strong, the cardio kind of goes down a little bit. It's harder when the guy's even, when the guy has not too strong, but a lot of cardio. But I think he's the opposite. He's very strong.
Someone says on Twitter,
we're going to bring him to Denver. That's what Gilbert's going to come to Denver.
Oh, yeah.
You should come to Denver. Come do some training.
I want you. I want to go.
Denver. You know, it's cold in Denver, right?
Yeah, I don't like cold.
Yeah. He changed his mind.
Exactly. He's like, no way.
Like, never mind. Someone, I changed my mind.
Someone here on Twitter, Gilbert, they said his wife, your wife, his wife instructed him strictly to take the easier approach, take down and submit, and not have wars like he did with Hamza. Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, she did?
She did say that on the new Magnify because she's right here. She's not listening to you. That's a good thing. At least I would have fun. But she said, right, before the fight, the day of the fight, I want to take new Magnify down, but not instantly, not right away. Not like Demian Maia style, not like Hamza style. I want to feel that guy a little bit. But then before Liv, she was going to the arena before me. So I was on my room taking, just resting a little bit, got all my things ready. And then before the fight, she came in, hey, I don't want you to go crazy and bang with this guy. Take him out, take him down and submit him. It's going to be easy. And then like, all right, promise me. And then I said, no, I'm not promising you. You promised me. And then she, okay, I promise you. And then at the fight, that's the craziest thing because at the fight, I was kind of feeling the distance. I was getting ready, and then I said, okay, I can see I'm going to throw a right hand, maybe 1-1-2. I was kind of seeing the combination. And then I just remember myself like, oh, you say you promise. You got this guy down. In the middle of the fight, like, shit, okay, I'm going to throw a right hand. I'm going to throw a right hand. If it happens, I go to a body lock. And that's exactly what I did. But I wasn't looking for that in the beginning. I was like, I want to faint a little bit and then come with a hard one, two, in and out, move. But then I said, you know what? Let me throw a right hand. If I miss, I go to a body lock. And that's exactly what I did.
That's the power of your wives.
Yeah.
It'll change your whole life. You're like, oh, maybe I'll knock him out, but then I'm going to get my ass chewed when I get home.
You leave the fighting to me, okay?
Yes.
You cook the dinner, clean the clothes, shut the hell up. I'm joking, of course. Gilbert, we'll let you go, brother.
Yeah.
Really, really looking forward to your fight. It's a huge fight. You and Masvidal, can't wait for it. All the best. Enjoy the last couple of weeks' preparation, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me. Let's go.
Yeah, take care, man. Good luck.
All the best, brother. Thank you. There he is. He's always fun.
Love that guy.
Yeah.
He changes my own mentality sometimes. Like when I talk to him.
Explain.
Like he said, like there's obviously things going on in my division. There's guys I don't get along with. There's a lot of... I feel like 205 right now is very similar to what 170 could potentially be, where it could, that title could change hands. I got a lot of faith and belief in Leon, but there's some new blood. It feels new. And I don't know, like his mentality, like I'm just going to keep getting finishes. I'm going to worry about me. I'm not going to bring anybody else down to build myself up. So while he was talking, I was like, man, I need to think like that. And like, stop fucking worrying about everybody else and just worry about myself, you know?
That, I like that expression. I'm not going to bring anybody else down just to, what was it again?
I'm not going to put anyone else down to build myself up.
I like that. That's good. That's good. I am going to do that. I will always do that. I don't care. I need to be as up as possible. Jokes, by the way, before you all start. Well done, Gilbert. Thank you for your time once again. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. 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 We all need it. We all want it. We all should take advantage of what BetterHelp offer. What do they offer? Well, listen, it's professional counseling done securely online. So if you feel there's something bothering you, something causing you not to be the best version of yourself, stressing you out, causing anxiety, maybe you got depression, temper issues, addiction issues, alcohol issues, whatever it is, whatever issue you have, you need to get help. You need to get BetterHelp, okay? And it's super convenient. As I say, it's all done over the phone. Once you sign up, you'll be matched up with a licensed professional therapist. You can communicate with them in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. And BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. So it's easy and free to switch up if you're not feeling the vibe. You can send messages anytime. You will always get a timely and thoughtful response. You can schedule weekly video or just phone call sessions. So the easy way to do it if you're a very, very busy person. So right now, take advantage of the services from betterhelp.com/believe. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge over their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. It gets talked about all the time, but a lot of people are still begrudging to do it, you know? It's never had a bigger spotlight on it, you know? But there's so many people that refuse to do it. They feel like it's admitting weakness or something like that. It's not. It's the opposite. It's being strong. It's taking responsibility of your thoughts and your actions and what's going on between your ears. And you will feel better for it. So right now, go to betterhelp.com/believe. That is better, H-E-L-P. .com/believe. You will get 10% off your first month. One more time, betterhelp.com/believe for 10% off your first month. Harrington,
he's not quite here. He doesn't have a camera up yet, but he's
Harrington's
ready.
Late. Okay. Look at this crap. No notes. No,
show
no,
whatever
nothing.
The fuck we want.
They just came show in, up. By the way.
Well, I don't care. No notes when we started. Right? That is one demerit. And we will be reprimanding him. And don't be going on and leave Harrington alone. Right? We
are three chips. Three chips or five bites of placenta.
Yes. Five bites of placenta. Oh my God. I'll take the chips. Thank you. Right. So the big story is, obviously, I'm hoping Harrington can come in and give a bit of color because he does a good job of doing that. But this whole Colby Covington thing, and he's joining us on Monday, so I'm intrigued to talk to him there. Colby obviously looks like he's getting the next title fight, and a lot of people are pissed off. Bilal Muhammad has come out. He's been on a tirade on Twitter.
He's going scorched earth. He's pissed.
On Instagram, full scorched earth. Have you seen what some of the things that he said?
He does a good job of making memes and pictures and edits. And so like editing all of Colby's last opponents and then editing his, like, since 2019 or something, Bilal's 8-0 or something. And since the, in that same amount of time, Colby's 3-2 and there's just a bunch of, you know, a bunch of, and I get it, man. Like, that's the thing. Like, I get both sides of it. I really do. I get Bilal's side. I'd be pissed too. But I get the Colby side of it as well.
Listen, we all understand Bilal Muhammad's side, of course, yeah. But this is just the way it is sometimes. And I think what really might have sent Colby over the edge, I'm just looking here. There's a tweet here which John Anik put out on Friday, March 17th, obviously when Colby showed up and weighed in. He says, I understand acutely why Colby Covington was the backup, but hard not to feel for Bully B170. 9-fight unbeaten streak, hasn't lost in 4+ years, just KO'd a previously undefeated fighter. This man deserves his respect. And I don't say that because he has a podcast with my twin brother. But then, of course, Colby came out and he took this to a 10. Brian, do we have the video, please?
So you wanted to lick my freaking balls in London. Oh, Colby, this. But then you want to go back behind the stage and cheerlead for a racist. So he associates with racism and Bilal Muhammad. And, you know, John Anik, dude, I don't want your kids to grow up without a dad. Just realize you live in Boca. I live in Miami, motherfucker. You're not too far from me. So you better shut your fucking mouth. You poke the bear, now you get the bear comes after you.
Ooh.
I'm excited to talk to Colby on Monday.
Me too.
Like, we went a little far there. We went a little far. John Anik, he's working for the UFC. So he's got to try to build both guys. So I feel like he bigged both of them up. Like, I understand why Colby's here. I understand why he's the backup, but also I do kind of feel bad for Bilal Muhammad, as does probably most everybody. Everyone understands why Colby, but both things can be true. You can feel bad for Bilal, but also understand the Colby situation. But you can't. John Anik is a consummate professional. He does nothing but try to build up the fighters. I almost wanted to text John and just be like, man, I'm sorry. Like, that just sucks. You know, like, it's kind of a dick move.
And I believe once, and I hate to bring this up because it's like I'm ragging on John. I'm not. I remember when me and Colby went back at each other years ago. I don't know if you saw it on Fox Sports. He started giving me a bit of grief in a post-fight interview, and we went back and forth a little bit. John came to the defense of Colby Covington live on Twitter and, like, kind of berated me a little bit. We had our little words, me and John. We squashed that many years ago. The only reason I bring it up is because he was defending Colby, you know, and it was like Bisping was a little out of line there. And he was probably right. You know, the man had just won an interim belt, let him have his moment and all the rest of it. Because as you say, John Anik is the consummate professional. He really is. They don't get any more professional and they don't get any better at what he does. He is so passionate, always prepped. But what do you think? I mean, yeah, it's over the top, but that's just Colby being Colby. There's no real, you know.
Yeah, but it's usually to other fighters. If it's talking to you or to me, like, whatever. Like, if you want to do it, let's do it. But, like, you know, fight John Anik. Like, I love John, but he's no fighter. You know what I mean?
I don't think he could win a fight. Brian, just look up.
That's really
just look out. Bilal put a post on. He put his post on wearing his glasses, saying that if he sees Colby Covington, he said if he even looks at John Anik the wrong way, it's on site or something like that, because he's going to be there. See if you can find that video, because it's pretty good. But I mean, listen, Colby's doing the right things. He's in the headlines again. We're talking about him. You know, oh, here we go. Well done, Brian. Fast work.
Not a script. If it's not written down by a professional, he sounds so stupid. And he just, like, looks, drawing for straws, trying to grasp at something to make it seem real. And now you're coming at, like, a guy like John Anik, who's, like, the nicest guy in the world. And why? Because John Anik gave me an interview. You're calling him racist. You're calling him this. And you're threatening a guy like John Anik. Like, I told John, I, like, texted him, like, man, I can't wait to come to Miami in 2 weeks. Because I'm quartering my teammate, Ignacio Balmundez. And I'm like, I wish I see Colby there. And I wish that he even looks at John in a certain way of disrespect. I swear, I'm going to walk up to him and just slap him right in his mouth. Because when you're coming at guys like that, when you just got beat up outside of the cage and you're like, call the cops and you're crying, and now you're like threatening a commentator and you're acting all this tough talk right now to a guy like John, it, like, just pisses you off. Cause, like, to me, like, John is my brother. He's the man. And if you like disrespect somebody that I have four brothers, three brothers. And if you're coming at any one of them, like if you have any siblings, you know what it is. You know what it feels like. So for him to come at John, it just like irritated me so much because it had no reason to. And it's like pisses you off. But like, I wish I see him in Miami. It's going to be, I'm telling you, man, it's going to be a bad night for him. I see him.
Well, there it is.
It's damn, now I want to go to Miami.
It's all going to go off in Miami. I've never been to Miami.
Neither have I. We should go. Oh,
we should go. We say that every time. I'm not going.
I know. Fuck me either.
No. When's your fight? Not that you spoke about that, but when is the fight?
May 12th.
May 12th, yeah. And when's that one? May 7th?
6th.
Yeah, so you ain't going there the week before. I've never been to Miami. I hear it's incredible, though.
I know. Damn it.
I hear it's
I'd be there, too, if I wasn't fighting, but...
Yeah.
It's just a mess. Like,
yeah, it's going to be a mess. You got Masvidal, Bilal's going to be there, Colby's going to be there.
Looks like Miami's in April.
Oh, sorry, April. Yeah.
May 6th is that New Jersey card.
May 6th. Oh, yeah, which is Aljamain Sterling and Henry Cejudo. Very good. So I was just looking through some of the stuff here.
And oh, you got the notes. Okay, that's nice.
I got some notes. I mean, I looked at them. I'd already done this myself. I mean, all it is essentially.
I don't know why he's here.
Is he here?
I don't know.
Is Hamilton here?
Oh, what is wrong with his face?
What have you done to yourself?
I gotta. Well, I'm getting ready to meet my baby, dude. I gotta trim it down just a little bit.
So you wanted to look worse?
Yeah, I can't ever think I'm a bear.
My God, Harrington, explain yourself, man. Please. This you're late for work. This is work. This is your job. I am your boss, and Anthony Smith is your boss. Anthony, what would you like? How would you begin reprimanding Harrington?
I had a bunch of ideas till I seen his face, and it's really thrown me off. It's really throwing me off here.
I beat you to the punishment.
You did. When's his baby going to be here?
I mean, literally today's the due date. I left getting an ultrasound to come here. So it could be in a matter of minutes.
You shouldn't even have gone.
You should have arranged the ultrasound on a different day. It's just bad management.
You're right. I misread the text. I thought we were on at 4. And then looking back, I saw it was 3. And I was like, babe, I got to go. I'm leaving the hospital. I got to get into the office
No. Don't do that. Don't try and curry favor with the believers. Don't try and make it seem like you're making all these sacrifices. You read the text wrong. Okay?
I did. Mm-hmm.
Simple
that's
as that.
Me. 100%.
I'll have a think. But it's definitely 2-1 chip challenges for Harrington. Okay? Right. In fact, you get to chips. Eat mine.
I have 2 extras, so Harrington can literally eat 2.
Maybe, 2 or 3 for sure.
All right. Let's have a chat about this just to go off on a tangent. We have got Marlon Vera fighting Corey Sandhagen this weekend, which is an incredible fight. Incredible fight. Looking at the notes, I'm just looking at what he did here. As I said, essentially you press MMA and then news and then brings it all up. And in the non-MMA stories, he's got stories there which are all last minute because it's all stories from weeks ago that we never got to. Listen, you've got to do a better job than this, Harrington. Speaking of Conor McGregor, he's took some shots at the top coaches in the game and a tweet that has since been deleted. I didn't see this.
I don't know. It's like in my head, I thought this tweet brought to you by Proper 12.
Well, here's what he said, just to give some context. Faraz Zahabi is a little douchebag. Trevor Whitman is a pad man. Javier Mendez is a fat arse lit kickboxer. Mike Brown is a smelly prick. Greg Jackson got caught up. The system of Coach Kavanaugh is now shining through in years to come. The world will know what we've been at. It's beginning to bear fruit. If you want to train at SBG Island with Cav and me. We are Fight Factory, aching to butter churning. It's true because they've got such a massive roster of UFC talent. They've got so many. It's like, never mind, step aside, Greg Jackson. So many. Name 5. Name 1.
Conor McGregor.
Other than Conor.
Johnny Walker.
Johnny Walker, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. He was born and raised in Dublin. Oh, dear. He was born and raised. He's just got a weird, weird. He's the ginger stepchild.
I don't know why you did that. Like, why do you take a shot at people that, like, it's totally out of the blue? It has nothing to do with
that expression again. You don't bring someone down to build yourself up.
Right. Right. Like,
how relevant is that?
Ras Sahabi, I don't know, maybe the coach of the second best fighter fucking ever. Like, you're gonna shit on that guy.
Probably the best, maybe the best. No yeah. Steroids.
Then definitely the best. If we're
yeah.
But and then the Greg Jackson. I mean, like, that, how many fucking champions rolled through that place?
And Javier, the nice guys. Come on, the really nice guys.
And Trevor Whitman. I mean? That one hurt. That one hit me here when he said Trevor Whitman, because he is like a salt of the earth human being. Like, he couldn't be. He's the guy that won't cheer for his own fighter winning a world title until he knows that the opponent is okay. Like, that's so the type of guy thing. He is. How do you shit on that guy?
Did you see Trevor Whitman, just to talk about him? Because you're right, what a nice guy. Every time, I don't know him, but obviously I always, we're in the same circle, so I always go up to him and say hi. You know, we have a quick shoot the shit for a couple of minutes, and he is always the nicest guy. And then Saturday night, after Leon won the belt, he went over congratulating Leon, and the smile on his face. And it was genuine, because, yeah, of course, he's devastated that his fighter Kamaru was lost. But also, you've got to be happy for the guy. And to be able to have that separation and say, yeah, I'm really sad. Of course, I'm Team Kamaru all day long. But good for you, brother. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, that just says what kind of guy we're dealing with here.
That's genuinely who he is as a person, too. There's no show. There's no faking it. It's, of course, like you said, of course, he's upset for Kamaru. He does a good job, I think, and I've heard him speak about it before. He compartmentalizes everything. So although he's very sad that Kamaru didn't win, he also looks at the bigger picture. Kamaru's healthy. He got out of it okay. He's uber successful in life, financial, career. Like, him losing the title in Trevor's mind, the way that he looks at it, does it suck? Yeah. But in the broad spectrum of things, Kamaru's doing pretty fucking good in life. And I think that's how Trevor looks at it. Like, yeah, tonight sucks.
You know how he's doing good?
But overall, you're doing great.
Do you know how I know he's doing good?
I don't know.
Well,
there's lots of reads I have on it, but any man that can wear a suit jacket shirt underneath is doing great in life.
I mean, that's good. But on Friday at the weigh-ins in London, I went to the ceremonial weigh-ins. I was on stage with some other fighters, and then I wanted to get out of there, so I'm trying to get transport, and it's freezing cold, and I'm waiting for UFC had a car to come and get me, and I'm standing there waiting, and there is a beautiful bright purple Lamborghini SUV, and it was like the sickest thing you've ever seen in your life. And of course, it sounds obnoxious because the color, but when it's a supercar like that, it's like metallic purple. It would just pop in. It looked great where the light was hitting it. And then the engine was roaring. You know, not my cup of tea, but I said to someone from the USA, whose is that? They went, that's Kamaru's. That's what he's been rolling around in all week. Yeah, there it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's badass.
That's when you know the guy's doing all right. Brian, just look up the price of one of those things. I'm going to guess. It's got to be 300,000.
I'd say probably 170.
No.
235.
235? Okay. Not bad. Might grab one this weekend. Do you know, if you won the belt and you defended the belt many times and you won and you earned millions and millions and millions of dollars, what would be your dream car?
My dream car? You're going to make fun of me.
Don't say a pickup truck.
Yeah, it would be.
A Ford F-350.
Okay, so hear me out. There's this company that takes two separate Ford F-350s, like these big, super,
It is a Ford F-350.
Yeah, these super dualies. And they take two and they cut them in half and they make a six-door F-350 dually. They're like $200,000, but it's... Yeah. Fucking badass.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So I get one of those.
those big American trucks, I must say that the interior of them, the new ones, mm-hmm. they're pretty luxurious, man, and they're so spacious. I'm very tempted to get one, but you know, so I can feel like a real man, you know?
But if we're talking cars, I really want an Audi. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson actually has one. It's an R8.
Yeah.
They are sweet. Oh,
Stephen's got the R8, does he? Yeah, that's a nice, that's a flashy car.
It is.
You're a little bit big for an R8. Quentin Rampage Jackson got an Audi R8 when they first really? Came out. Yeah, yeah. They're a small car. They're a very compact thing. But Wonderboy's rocking up in an R8. Good for him.
It's funny. Like I was there at his school training, and you know, me and Weidman get out of Weidman's Dodge pickup truck, and Wonderboy rolls up in this R8, gets out of the R8, and then goes and gets in one of the short buses to go start picking kids up from school.
Brian, just show him an Audi R8, just for context for anyone that doesn't know what one looks like. I remember I was in the car with Rampage because when they first came out here in the States. Yeah, well, that's a bad. Why would you pick the white? That's the crappiest color, Brian. Go back. That one there. That one
that
there.
Purple one. Go back to that purple one.
There we go. I was kind of obsessed with the R8s when they first came out, but they are very small. Anyway, Harrington.
Fuck that one. What do you think? That's the one I want right there.
Let's have a look.
The purple one.
The purple is good. Yeah, so Kamara's doing good. He's got the bright purple Lamborghini. All right, let's talk about Fitbod really quick. Fitbod is the workout app that creates a workout routine that is personalized to your goals, fitness levels, and available equipment. It learns from your previous workouts also, and it adapts as you improve so you can keep the momentum going all the way to the next year and beyond. So listen, whatever you want to achieve, you can set your goals. What goals do you have? What progress are you seeing? How does Fitbod keep you motivated towards working towards your goals? Okay. It will help you with all of those things. Okay. Fitbod has over 1,400 HD demonstration videos. So whether or not it's the weight room, the park, your front room, wherever you are, it has workouts for you. You can track all your progress in the app, see how many calories you've burned and all the rest of it. It'll stop you from overtraining. And as I say, there's videos right there. If you've never seen them before, it can sound complicated for you. Whether you're in the weight room or your bedroom, Fitbod has a plan for you. So whether you've been missing gym time or you've just hit a plateau, a fresh start has never been easier. And the app switches up your exercises so you avoid overtraining or burning out. And the program changes based on your personal progress for maximized results. And here's the best thing. A full year of Fitbod costs less than the cost of a single session with a personal trainer. And we have a ridiculous offer for you. Join Fitbod today and build a routine that lasts all year. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/believe. You want to work out? You don't know what to do? You can try it for free and then get 25% off your subscription by going to fitbod.me/believe. That is fitbod.me/believe. Should we talk about UFC Conor and USADA? Should we talk about John Jones' question whether or not Stipe would show up? Should we talk about, we did Colby, or should we talk about Joe Rogan says that the game keeps evolving. Because the game keeps evolving, George St. Pierre doesn't have a good resume as some top welterweight. So Joe Rogan on GSP, Connor and the USADA thing, or Jones questioning whether or not Stipe shows up. Your choice, Anthony Smith. This is your podcast.
Well, if we spend 5 seconds talking about Connor and USADA, he's going to go on a 45-minute fucking tirade on Twitter.
You're going to
We're going to get the voice notes. He's going to be angry.
So we're talking about Conor and USADA. Okay, let's go.
I was going to say skip that, but yeah.
I'm not rushing nothing. There's hurdles and whatnot, but we're in constant communication and there's an interview scheduled and a meeting happens and then it will be official. But the six-month thing, what they had said is that 2 clean tests and off I go. So I'm assuming it won't be long. USADA responded, making it clear that they do expect the six-month testing window to be in full effect. They said, the UFC rules are clear that in addition to 2 negative tests, an athlete must make themselves available for testing for 6 months before returning to competition. This is a fair way to ensure an athlete does not use the retirement status to gain an unfair advantage by using prohibited substances during the retirement period, which would enhance their performance unfairly if they ultimately decide to return to competition. While the rules permit the UFC to make an exception to the six-month rule in exceptional cases, when the strict application of the rule would be manifestly unfair to the athlete, our position, which we have made clear, is that Conor should be in the testing pool for the full six-month period.
That's kind of what I thought the whole time. There is a provision, obviously, that they can, in extreme circumstances, they can waive the 6 months. But it seems like that would be...
I don't like it either.
No, I don't like it either. But I think if the UFC did do that and they waived it, it would be such a shitstorm. Mm. I just think that it, like, PR-wise, that would be a really bad look. And I understand that there are some extreme circumstances that could be necessary. Like, I don't know, like say I got cut and then I'm out of the pool. I go and I fight one time and they try to bring me right back. Technically I would have to be in that 6 month pool. But yep. If it's an extreme circumstance where I take a short notice fight, then they can waive it, you know, and have the test, have the two clean tests and be whatever. But this doesn't seem like one of those extreme circumstances. It's not like they don't know when they want him to fight.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, get your ass in the testing pool.
Get in the pool.
Get clean. Get the stuff out of your system.
Well, I don't know why he's not in the pool already.
He should be in the pool. Should be in the pool right now. He's on the Ultimate Fighter. A fight.
Right.
I think it's scheduled. I'm not sure. We haven't seen an announcement, to be fair. So maybe it's going to be, I mean, what are we in now? March. So 6 months would be September. You know,
winter time, end of the year.
He could fight Madison Square Garden again. I'm sure they've got their eyes on that, which is typically November. So he's still got time. But yeah, you know, that 6 months is, I remember when I retired, I've said this before, so apologies to those who have heard this, but when I retired, Hunter Campbell called up. He said, so you want to go out the testing pool? I said, yeah, absolutely. He goes, Mike, if you go out that testing pool, to come back, you have to do 6 months. I said, I know. That's why I want to go out the testing pool, because that's my insurance against myself. That's my insurance against me saying, screw it, I'll take that short notice fight. Because if someone fell off or an opportunity came up, I'd probably go, oh, do you know what?
Oh, I'm in pretty good shape.
I'll take it. Let's do it. I said, that's my insurance against myself. But anyway, Harrington, show yourself with a beard, please.
Ah!
It's scary. Where should we go, Harrington? What's a big story? None of those nonsense MMA ones. You blew it. None of them are making it in the show, bro. They were weeks ago. They're weeks old. What's the big story you've put in the notes?
From an MMA perspective or a non-MMA? Yes. Okay.
Whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think this one might be interesting. Francis Ngannou says that Usman was not able to train for the Leon fight because he was so injured.
Mm, go on, elaborate.
So Ngannou, who obviously has a pretty close relationship with Usman and Adesanya, says, I know he didn't train. He didn't have time to train properly because of a lot of injury, but he was there. He was there, so it's a victory. It's an unfortunate victory, but I think he's mentally healthy than he was before. Let's see what's next. I believe he gets that back. I believe it. So saying that
Did he say about the injuries, though? Did he say what they were?
No, he didn't elaborate, but he just said that because he had so many injuries in his training camp, he wasn't sure if he was even going to be able to make it to the fight. He thinks that making it to the fight and going the five rounds was a victory for Usman there.
Well, I guess it could be you could dress that up as a moral victory. And I understand and I commend Ngannou for being such a loyal friend. You know what I mean? For having his back and feeling the need to defend him and coming out of the woodwork. And, you know, he's got a big spotlight on him right now. So that's very nice of him. But the reality is, and I'll kick it to you in just a sec, the reality of the situation is, yes, he's injured. Not because he's injured. He's injured because of the wear and tear, because he's 36, because he's been wrestling his whole life, because he's been fighting at the highest level for years now. Do you know what I mean? That's not an injury. That's the decline. You know what I'm saying? Because we all want to go. It's like, if I didn't have these injuries, if I had two bloody eyes, if my knee wasn't bum, do you know what I mean? Then I could do so much better. But that's, you go up, you go up, you go up. And as you're going up, people are chipping away. The life is chipping away. The career is chipping away. Injuries and your shoulders hurt and your elbows hurt and your fingers hurt and your knees hurt and all the rest of it. Sadly, And with respect to Kamaru, because I love the guy, that's not a reason for losing fights. That's the reason why you're losing fights, maybe, but that's also a reason that's not going to go away.
Right. I'm not in a position to, if Kamaru's not going to come out and defend himself, I'm not going to either. He's not the type of guy that's going to make an excuse. So I credit to Francis Ngannou for wanting to stick up for his friend. But if Kamaru's not going to come out and say it, I'm not willing to take anything away from Leon's win. That's an almost impossible guy to fight. And he's done it twice and beat, or he's done it three times and beat him twice. So, I just don't want, if Kamaru's not going to make those excuses and say anything, then I think that we just need to assume that Leon beat the best Kamaru Usman possible.
100%.
I think that's only fair.
Just looking at my flight. I've got a flight. I had a slight mix up with my flight, seeing what it is. I'm okay. I'm good.
You're good?
Leon's getting a lot of chat this week. Let's turn it. And rightly so. Well done to the champ, of course. Mm-hmm. Long live the king. Do you know who the king of England is, Anthony?
I don't.
Oh, come on. For crying out loud. You don't? Well, I'm not telling you. Brian will. Brian will, because Brian will know some conspiracy.
The king of England is Leon Edwards.
Long live the king, bruv. Brian will have a conspiracy story that involves bloody, what was it called, Epstein Island or something like that. Go on, Brian. Yeah.
If the royal family's involved, so is Epstein Island. That's all I got to say.
Jeez Louise, you can't just come on and slander the royal family. My God. Harrington, who's the king of England?
I mean, I said it was Rocky, but I think it's Charles. It's Charles, right?
Yes. Thank you.
There we go. Charles.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
I'm trying to think of a non-MMA story. What's going on in my life? I'm flying out to there. Nothing. Should we talk about Marlon Vera?
I love Cheeto. How do you feel about the fight? Well, you're calling it, so I guess you yesterday. Can't make any predictions, but how do you feel?
I'm not going to make a prediction, but I can hype it up and talk about it. I was watching yesterday. I was on the treadmill, you know, just grinding away as I do. And I've got the Corey Sandhagen?
Yeah.
Couldn't think of his first name. I've got Corey Sandhagen versus Piotr Jan, his last fight.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Those first two rounds for Corey Sandhagen were just incredible. I'm watching it and I was like, he's so impressive. Even in the fights that he's lost, the way he switches stance, his movements with his body, the rolls under, the way he pivots by switching stances, the flying knees, the combinations, everything about his stand-up, his striking, is so beautiful to watch. But of course, over five rounds, when he's moving so much and he's switching stances and he's making these feints and movements all over the place, it comes at a cost. You know what I'm saying? And he definitely started to slow down over five rounds and Piotr Jan took over. Cheeto Vera is a guy that is suited for five rounds because Cheeto is what you might say kind of like Piotr Jan, kind of like a slow starter, you know, typically gives up the first round just based on activity. You know what I'm saying? But man, he's watching, he's downloading, he's making reads and he's turned in. I don't know. Is he the best knockout artist at 135? He just might be because he's putting people away now. He is.
Yeah.
He is. He's something special. He really is.
Yeah. I think this is, I think this fight reminds me a lot of the Piotr Jan fight for Corey Sandhagen. I like Corey Sandhagen a lot. I love watching him fight. He's super exciting. But I think the one knock I would have on him is that as the fight goes on, he tends sometimes to run out of tricks. You know, if they're not quite working and people aren't falling into his traps all the time, it's like he runs out of fancy shit sometimes. And so I think he's got a really dangerous ground game. I don't know. I see this being a stylistic advantage a little bit for Cheeto because he's so fundamental and it's nothing flashy or fancy or crazy. It's just really basic fundamentals at a super high level. And I think as the fight goes on, I could see Cheeto starting to close the distance, cornering him, walking him down, laying a big kick and slowing the movement down of Corey. I think if Corey wins, he's going to have to hurt Cheeto early. That would be my guess. Because I think it's going to be hard.
I'm just looking at the record. Knocked out Sean O'Malley. round one. Lost to Jose Aldo. He was pissed after that fight.
Yeah.
David Graham by decision. Frankie Edgar, knockout, front kick. Rob Font, decision. What a performance that was. And then knocked out Dominic Cruz in round four. That's his latest run. Let's have a look at Corey. Last time out, Song Yadong. Dr. Stoppage, round four before that, beat Piotr Jan. Sorry, lost to Piotr Jan and then lost to TJ Dillashaw. Beat Frankie Edgar with a flying knee.
I thought he won the Dillashaw fight, to be fair.
See, that's one that's open for debate, though, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought he looked great. I thought he won that fight as well.
Yeah.
By the narrowest margins, but it wasn't a blowout, but I thought he did enough.
So what is your prediction then? Because obviously you can't, you're not going to be there this weekend.
No, I'm busting ass here. I feel bad saying this, but because me and Corey have the same manager and we see each other in Denver all the time because he's training here. So we do strength and conditioning at the same place. So I'll see him today.
Well, what a two-faced bastard you are.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to see him at fire meetings tomorrow.
Don't do
I'm
that.
Tell him.
Don't I do that.
Did you have a good session yesterday? Did you have a good session with Anthony? Did you? Did he say good luck?
Well, it's not
did
with
he wish
me.
You all the best?
Of course.
Did he?
I wish them both the best.
Well, an hour before, he predicted you to lose, bro.
I don't know that I could ever pick against Cheeto because I just have such belief in him and his story and his background and where he came from. I've connected myself to him very much. So we don't talk all the time. We don't hang out, but I feel very connected to Cheeto and his journey. So I'm not sure that I could pick against Cheeto, but I do genuinely believe that as the fight goes on, I think Cheeto wears him down slowly. And for, you know, at the minimum, I think he wins the last three rounds.
Cause he just got such a good chin. He's got a great chin. He's as tough as they come. And
his mentality is different.
His mentality is fantastic. He trains his ass off. And I'm sure Corey Sandhagen does and everyone at the top does. But he's so disciplined. And I mean so disciplined, you know what I mean? Obviously, I'm close with Perillo, and Perillo's his guy. Him and Cheeto are very close, and it breaks my heart. It makes me jealous because I'm like, that used to be me, but now it's Cheeto, and I don't even get a phone call anymore. But when I see Perillo, he tells me all the stuff, and I go down the gym now and again. And yeah, Cheeto's an animal, absolute animal. And I'm going to get accused of being biased on Saturday night again because people just go, oh, my big Bisping's mates with Cheeto. I will be calling the fight like I see it. If Corey's doing well, I'll say that. If Cheeto's doing well, I'll say that. But I will smile if either man wins. I can't make a prediction, but it's going to be a sensational fight.
It is.
Sensational. Co-main event. Let's have a little look-see-do. Hold on. Holly Holm.
Oh, Yana, that's right.
Santos. What did she used to be called? Yana Kunitskaya.
Kunitskaya. Yeah.
I prefer Kunitskaya. No offense to Thiago Santos.
Yeah. And Thiago's fighting pretty soon, too.
Is he who?
He's in the PFL now. He's fighting my teammate, Rob Wilkinson.
Wilkinson.
Yeah.
Rob Wilkinson. You know, geez Louise. I saw him in his last PFL fight.
He's a tough motherfucker, man.
Yeah, he is. Australian, right?
Yeah, he's tough.
He's got a lot better. From the last time I saw him in the UFC, which wasn't too great.
Yeah. He was also at 185.
Yeah. And it was also the last time I saw against Izzy. So it's a tough matchup. But man, I forget who it was in PFL, and he looked bloody brilliant. Yeah, but anyway.
He's a horse, man. And I can't believe he ever made 85. It's crazy how big that guy is.
Nate Landwehr.
Oh, that'd be
Lingo.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Do you know Nate Landwehr?
I do.
I knew you would.
Yeah.
For anyone that doesn't know Nate Landwehr, they must know Nate Landwehr by now. He's had enough fights in the UFC. He's out of his mind. Where's he from?
Originally, I think he lives in Florida or trains in Florida now, but he's from somewhere in the South. Like, I want to say.
I'm gonna bring up my notes, Nate, because he is the train.
Yeah, it's somewhere in the South. I don't Kentucky, Tennessee. I think it's Tennessee.
He's got his own day.
Clarksville, Tennessee.
Harrington
was fast.
There it is. Yeah, there. This
my
guy's
guy.
Out of his mind, but I love
he's bad
it.
Shit crazy.
Yeah, no. I've got some, I remember the first time we did a fighter meeting with him. Oh, my God. It was hilarious. And who was the other one? There was another guy on the same fighter meeting. Fuck, I need to remember this now. He got binned off. He lost some fights. Oh, I know who it is, but I don't know his name. But anyway, when you're at the fighter meeting, sorry, the fighter hotel. On the Thursdays, we do fighter meetings. Nate the Train's there. He's being out of his mind. He's super comical. He's very confident. He's talking about he's got his own day in Clarksville, Tennessee. He's a character. And the man can fight. Fights his ass off. Yeah. Always value for money. And there was another guy, Ginger Hair. He was there with Mark Munoz. I forget his name now. He's not in the UFC anymore. And on the day of the weigh-ins, security had to run out and grab him and drag him into the hotel because the UFC are at the hotel, but there's other people, public, mm-hmm. staying in the hotel as well. And he's this guy, I forget his name, he's a very, very devout religious guy. Very, very, you know, he's a major believer in Jesus. Go on.
Spike Carlisle?
Spike Carlisle. There it is. Go on, Spike. Go on, Harrington. He was outside, led, completely naked. Completely naked, led on the grass outside the front of the hotel, but like starfished, like this, right? And the security went out and they're like, what the hell are you doing? He's like, I'm harnessing the energy of the sun. They're like, well, you can harness it with a goddamn pair of shorts on. What are you doing? You know, and they picked him up and dragged him in the hotel. That guy's out of his mind. Yeah. Anyway, there you go.
Amazing.
All right, men's testosterone levels are at an all-time low. You probably see it. You might even feel it. If you're in your 30s, your 40s, certainly in your 50s, you need to give it a boost. Are you tired? Are you frustrated? Are you getting headaches? Are you working out like crazy but not getting results? Has the libido dipped? These are all signs of low testosterone. Now, of course, there's many supplements on the market, but the reality is that most supplements are full of crap. Chalk, C-H-O-Q. Are proud to stand above the rest in clean, pure, and healthy products. Okay, it's all natural. Chalk Daily is the cleanest research-based testosterone booster available. And along with Chalk Daily, you can be sure to check out their Male Vitality Stack and the Stack Ultra. Look, listen, you want to boost that testosterone, you're going to have more energy. Your libido is going to feel better. You're going to have more energy, right? You're going to see better results. You're just going to feel better as a man, okay? Listen, all natural. As I said, there's no label fluffing. There's no underdosing and all ingredients are measured to exact clinical research. So as I say, Chalk, if you're into natural supplements and natural supplements that actually work, Chalk is taking the sports nutrition and health world by storm. And as I say, I love this because it is natural. So right now they have a fantastic offer. Go to chalk.com. And while you're there, use the code Bisping. You're going to get 35% off your entire order. So it's never too late to start the new year, to get your ass in gear, to lose some weight, to feel great and boost that testosterone. Go to chalk.com, C-H-O-Q, use the promo code Bisping, 35% off your entire order.
I think Macy Barber's on that card too. She's fighting
Macy Barber, Andrea KGB Lee.
KGB. Yeah. That's a good
fight. That's your girl there. You like Macy Barber, don't you?
We trained together for a while, yeah.
That's not what I meant. That sounded weird. I didn't mean it to sound like that. Like Harrington.
Like, yeah, like.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, you're friendly, you're friends. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Harrington, are you still in love with Macy Barber?
I mean, I have a wife with a baby on the way, but yeah, if she's available, I'll take her number. What?
Alex?
Not with that face looking like that.
Yeah, oh, no, Jesus Christ.
Throw a beard back before you ask for anybody's number.
Alex is literally on the way to the hospital to deliver his child right now.
She's Brian, busy. Stay on. We'll have a foursome.
Wait. Oh. She's what?
She's on the way to the hospital like right now, or she's going there.
No.
Are you serious?
She went in for an ultrasound. There was some issues that they found in the ultrasound, so they are having her going for like an emergency test right now.
Oh, no.
Okay. Should we get Rebecca's perspective? Rebecca!
All right.
Well, she'll tell you. She'll break it down. And apparently in the comments, everybody loved the placenta conversation.
Did
Alex hear about this? Did she watch it? What was her thoughts?
I had her watch it this morning. And right now she's freaking out, essentially, that she's never going to be hot again. And her response was, Rebecca's so beautiful, I'll be fine.
Yeah, she's at three.
Yeah. That's what I said. I was like, you're just one. This is easy. This is easy work.
Is this a big deal, Harrington? Like, is there something, like, do you need to go?
No, I mean, I'll.
You better bloody not, because he only just got it.
It could be a big deal, but I'm keeping an eye on my phone, just in case.
So you're essentially saying that after this, you're probably going to go rushing off to the hospital.
Maybe, yeah.
Dude, if you need to go, all jokes aside, you should go. Go.
I'll be fine.
Yeah, I know, and she'll be fine. But listen, believe it or not, we can do the show without you. And don't take that as an offense, because it's not. No, I'm saying, dude, you owe, the only thing that you owe right now is to your child, son, daughter, Aura, right?
Daughter, yeah.
To Aura and Alex, you don't owe us anything, right, Anthony?
100%. If you got to go, you should go.
He's still going to stay. He's still going to stay.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. The believers are going to be so pissed that you chose us over your child.
Dude, no, they're not. That's
she's going to be in labor. She's going to be in labor for hours and hours. I only get 2 hours a week.
No way. No way.
Rebecca, seriously, get here.
No way. That's not 100%. All my kids have been born in less than 2 hours from the time her water broke. All four of them.
When Callum was born, she was in labor for bloody days, for about 2 days, because he came 9 weeks. He was 9 weeks premature. He came out. They said he'd be about 2 pounds, but he was, you stay on how he did. But he came out and he was 4 pounds 8, which they were quite surprised at. But yeah, she was in labor. I don't know. It was like 2.5 days. It's a long time, 2.5 days.
My wife was in labor for 47 minutes, our last kid.
Oof.
Wow.
We barely made it to the hospital. Yeah. It's crazy.
I had many trips down to the canteen. And while she was in labor, I was eating steak and kidney pudding, chips, peas, and gravy, which is a classic dish. You know, and she's led there. She's going, it wasn't like the hardcore section, you know, where they really ramp it up. Because I tell you what, how was your lady? How was she when she was like really going through the final throes?
Each one was a little bit different, but she was pretty tough for the last two. Yeah. She pretty much did natural, not because she wanted to. Just they came so fast, there was no time to get any drugs or epidural or anything. But I like the second to last one, she was kind of bitchy. So I just went over on the couch and just hung out, and I was like playing games on my phone and just kind of, because every time I try to talk to her, like calm her down, she just tell me to go fuck off. So I was like, okay, I'll be over here. You let me know if you need anything.
Yeah, so I'm stuffing my face. She's like, but when it really kicked in, the first one, she was in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
With Ellie, it was a little bit quicker. And then for Lucas, no drugs whatsoever, went in super quick. And then I think I've said this before, but gave birth. We were in and out of the hospital, I would say, within 90 minutes, 2 hours. Went home, and then I had to fly off to Vegas the next day because I was fighting Dan Miller. And I went to bed, and I woke up in the morning, and I could smell bacon. And she was cooking me my bacon, sausage, and eggs the morning after giving birth. Do you know what I mean?
That's crazy.
I know. I know. And I felt so bad as I was eating it. but the laughing gas, Harrington. Did you ever go on that, Anthony?
No, never.
Oh, it's good. It's good. You got to go on the laughing gas.
I should get some.
Rebecca's like, I don't need it. Never mind, you need it. I've been in this ward for almost 2 days now. I need it. Yes. It's pretty good. It gives you a little buzz. Yeah, like five minutes tops.
Yeah, maybe I can get some here at the apartment.
I don't know. I don't see how it helps with the pain.
Yeah, it'd be fun. Kinda, be all fucked up for 5 minutes, though.
Yeah, it just takes you out of body for a little bit, which is nice.
I think it's the same thing. When I was in Bulgaria last year, we all went to a nightclub. And did I tell this story about throwing up in the nightclub?
No.
Oh, God. Right. So we're all in, and you know, they're all lovey doveys. They're all actors and actresses. I shouldn't say that. They're all lovely. They were all amazing people. And the lead actress, Matilda Lutz, she's like perfect. You know what I mean? Of parents from, you know, the bloody art dealers or something, you know, from Italy. And, you know, she's a model for bloody Dior or whatever the fuck it is. Yeah, I don't know. She's doing well in life.
Yeah, she's perfect.
Yeah. And I'm a fucking meathead with one eye. Do you know what I mean? And drinking far too much. And
swinging an axe all day.
Yeah, we're in this club. And they're coming around with those helium balloons. Balloons filled with helium. No, not helium. Laughing gas. Yeah, laughing gas. Yeah. So I was doing them and they're laughing. And, this is great. Of course, like a nomad, I've got to do too many. Let's do another one. And like, I just remember, and we're all there and she was there. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I threw up in my mouth, right?
Oh, and no.
Then, it came again. And I'm in a nightclub. I'm surrounded by them all. And I'm like, and I'm like, my mouth is just full of spew. And the only thing I could do was go and then spew up out everywhere. And I'm like, I can't for the love of God. If I'm going to be able to show my face on set Monday morning, I cannot for the love of God throw up all over this nightclub. So I,
oh, you swallowed it.
Oh, I had to. Oh. I had to. Do you know what I mean? And it was one of the most disgusting things I ever did. But that balloon just knocked me sick. Do you know what I mean? And I did.
Were you sick for a while after that?
I was like, oh, God. But well, no, because then, like an idiot, I'm going around telling everyone, do you know what I just did? I threw up in my mouth and then I swallowed it. And they're like, oh, back off.
Oh, your breath.
Oh, dear, dear. Listen, we've got 10 minutes left. We'll do a couple of questions. If you want to send a question, then send it to bympod@gmail.com, Harrington.
And if you want to, if you're watching the show on iTunes, Spotify, sorry, listening to the show on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure you subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, positive review. It helps out on those platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the channel and you hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new video drops. And if you want to catch over 400 episodes you can't find anywhere else, completely ad free and uncensored, head to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM, get yourself a 7-day free trial, and check out our brand new website.
First question we got today is from Mr. Lee Bosworth.
Go on, Lee.
Hello, BYM. It's Lee with a couple of questions here. Do you think there should be criteria on the people fighting for titles where you have to at least come off the back of a win? I know that you see a lot of rematches because people have held the title for so long, but still, do you not think they should go and pick up a win first? Henry Cejudo coming in, do you think he should get a win first? Also, do you think it's time for the super lightweight division? I've asked a similar question before, but seems more steel than ever. Armin Sarukian's probably more than capable of being a champion, but I can't see anyone from 1-4 fighting him. Let us know what you think. Keep up the good work, and Harrington, good luck on the birth of the baby. Keep up the good work, boys.
Do you want to just clarify those questions for me?
I was too thrown off by his hair. What the fuck was that?
No. I don't know. My mind went miles with that. I was listening to Lee.
He was asking whether or not you think that.
Yeah, no, about the champions, I get that bit. There should be some criteria in place for who you become. But the last bit, because then I started thinking, what was he saying about a super lightweight division?
No,
I think he said a shake-up in the lightweight division.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Sorry. So a shake-up.
He thinks so. Right. Sorry, you can.
No, that's where my mind started wondering. I thought, did he say a super lightweight division? What the hell's that? Right, okay. Anthony, thoughts on criteria for title fights?
Man, it's just too hard to have a hard and fast rule. You know, I get it. Sometimes it doesn't work out exactly the way that some people think that it should. But a guy like Henry Cejudo, you know, two division champion, the guys that he's beaten, as dominant as he was, like he stepped away, he was never beaten. He kind of gets to step in, and as much as you guys, maybe some people don't like him or they think he's too cringe, like the fucking guy can fight, and he left a champion. So if he comes, you know, like that's just kind of the Jiří Procházka thing. Jiří never defended, you know, we're saying Jiří gets to come back in and get a title shot no matter what, because he was never beaten and he never defended it. Look how many times Cejudo defended his and then won it in a different division. That's, you know, that, if the criteria is if you come back, you got to have one win, that doesn't seem fair to a guy like Cejudo. So,
yeah.
Case by case basis.
Exactly. Listen, in a perfect world, right? If it was a perfect world, we would have a criteria where you've got to be in the rankings for so long, and you've got to be at least on a 3-fight win streak, and you've got to beat the number one contender, and all these type of things. But we don't live in a perfect world. We see this every week. Fights drop out all the time. That's why lately they have backup fighters, because stuff like that happens. People get sick. People get injured, you know. So it's just they have to sometimes roll with the punches. And then there's other times, and this annoys some fans, and I totally get that. There's popularity sometimes trumps, you know, some people's credits. You know what I'm saying? Like Bilal Muhammad, yeah, sure. You know, but Kobe is probably going to sell more. You know what I mean? Yeah. And a lot of people want to see it. I know this isn't like the best, most accurate measuring stick of all time, but we did a poll on my YouTube channel, you know, who thinks Colby, Bilal, Masvidal, or Burns. Over 50% wanted Colby Covington to fight for the belt next. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? The man is popular, and that's who generally, according to that poll, at least, the people want to see. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, in a perfect world, we would, but we don't live in a perfect world. Shake up in the lightweight division, where we never got to this story. Dustin Poirier is probably going to fight Justin Gaethje, right? And to the guy's point, Lee, you know, it seems like the top five, they're all going round in circles fighting each other. You know, that's where Beneil Dariush is going in to fight Charles Oliveira, winner of that probably fights for the belt. Next is probably the winner of Gaethje versus Justin. And yeah, you're right. There's 5 to 10, even 10 to 15. A lot of talent there. Listen, they're young. Stay the course. They will eventually get their time in the sun.
Mm-hmm. And credit to Justin Gaethje for kind of giving an opportunity to Fazeev to kind of pull him into the mix a little bit.
Good example.
That's, every once in a while, you'll get a guy that'll pull one of those guys in. The problem is you got to take advantage of that when it happens. So Fazeev kind of just got turned away, and now he's going to be on the outside looking in for a little bit.
That's just the way it goes. That is the business. Brian, go on.
All right. We got another question here from Mr. Rishab Tembulkar. I think I nailed that.
Rishab Tembulkar in a car.
My dumbass teammate sprained my foot on Tuesday, and I fight this Saturday. Besides the obvious of being fucking blind out of one eye, what's the worst injury you guys have fought with and won with? Love the show, y'all.
Yeah. Well, obviously, yeah. I mean, being blind in one eye is all like, what's yours, Anthony?
The way he said that, like,
other I know, than like, just disregard that.
Fucking one. Blind.
10 years almost. Won the championship.
Broken hands. You know, I've gone in with broken hands.
Yeah.
Various times.
The ribs, when I fought GSP, when I fought George.
I remember hearing about this. The ribs were all fucked up.
It was bad. That was a bad one. It's such an obvious excuse, but I'm telling you, I couldn't move. What else? There's always injuries.
Yeah, there's always something.
Knees are bad. Hip is bad.
Yeah.
Oh, I had for years, even still bothers me now, I couldn't throw a right hand very good because of a pinched nerve. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It was always slow and sore, but I don't know. It's been a long time for me. I'm washed up. I'm over the hill. What about you, Anthony?
Yeah, just same shit. Like my hip has always given me problems, you know, the fucked up knees, but the broken
is that the hip flexor when you throw kicks? Does that hurt?
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually better recently as I've been rehabbing it and just taking good care of it. But there for a while, it was real bad.
Do you find that when you're doing rehab and stuff like that, you know, that they're good and they help, but do you find there's also there's a lot of charlatans out there and a lot of assholes that waste your time?
For sure. For sure. You got to find a good one. You got to find a good one. For sure. It's like massage therapists. Anybody can take a test and get a license, but there's only, you know, there's really good ones out there and there's some really shit ones.
I've walked out, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's some great places. There's one in Orange County, Dr. Kessler, OC Fire Dogs, they're great. I've walked out of so many, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like my back now, I know it's broken, but before I knew that, I was trying to get treatment on it and I was in so much pain. And then I found out it was broke, but then I thought, well, what I can do is I can work on my mobility, work on my stretching, do everything I can, get as loose as I can everywhere, because that's going to be accentuating the pain that I'm in. So I went down to see this guy and I walked in and I told him all about it. I said, I'm really trying to loosen up. I really want some deep tissue. My hip flexors are super tight. My glutes are tight. My back's tight. My abs are tight. My neck's tight. Everything's tight as hell. And on top of that, I've got a back broken in 2 places. So I'm trying to loosen everything else up. And I said, oh, my neck's sore as well. He lies there, rubs me on my stomach for a little bit, and then goes, okay, stand up. How does that feel?
How do you feel?
They say that a lot, don't they? Have you had that? Yeah. How's that feel?
Yeah.
It feels exactly.
It's exactly the fucking same.
Exactly the same. It feels exactly the same. You rubbed my stomach, buddy, for 30 seconds. He goes, okay, back down. Rubs it a little bit firmer, and then in another place. How does that feel? I'm like, it feels exactly the same. And then now he's getting frustrated. He's like, well, I can't help your neck. Okay, so I lie down and he does a similar thing on my neck. And I'm like, bro, the doctor wants to do 2 more operations on my neck because I've got 2 bulging discs. And then he's just doing that and he goes, how's that? And I'm like, I'm done. Yet another shot. I did. I said, I got to go. I said, this is a waste of my time. It's a waste of your time. Well, it's not a waste of your time. You're getting paid, bastard. Yeah. There's a lot of charlatans.
There's a lot.
Should we do one more question? I know you got to go. One more. Let's make it quick.
Yeah, let's do one more.
Make it a good one.
All right. So we got one question here from Mr. Dalton Robertson.
What's up, Anthony and Michael? Dalton from Texas here. I got a quick question. I've been reading your book, Michael, Quitters Never Win. A fantastic book. One of the things that really stuck with me was during one of the chapters, your son got scared to watch you fight. So you called him and told him that you couldn't promise that you would win, but you would promise that you would do your absolute best. And as someone with parents who died when they were young and two kids of my own, you know, that really, really stuck with me. I just wanted to know from both of y'all, what's one thing that you really tell your kids that you want to get across to them as they're adults, you know, transitioning from being kids to adults? What's one thing that you really want to hammer home to them? Also, I'll be in the event in San Antonio for the UFC. I hope to see you there, Michael. Also, why can't we change the chain link fence to have razor blades in them? So whenever we grab the whenever they grab the fence, you get cut. Boom, lose a finger. You don't even have to lose a point. You just lose a finger. Boom, problem solved. Harrington, you're going to be a great dad, but fuck you. Have a great one, boys.
Dalton had me until he said Harrington's going to be a great dad.
I was there. I was even kind of with him through the razor blades.
Yeah. I think he's taking the making fun of that guy that said, why don't you just have perspex? Remember that? Where you are? Anyway, so thank you very much. I appreciate that. The kind words. And yeah, and what I said to him, I was talking about it in my book because my son was like, you know, Callum when he was really young. Oh, you promised me you're going to win. I said, well, I can't promise you I'll win, but I promise you I'm going to do my best. And as long as I do my best, and that's all that matters, son. You know, and that in life, that's all we can ever do. As long as we always do our best, we always try, we do our preparation, we do our work, and we're disciplined, and we try our best, and we go out there, and we give it our best shot, then we can be happy with that, you know? And I think that would be my message as well, you know, to my children. Always try and do your best. Always try and achieve the most. I always tell them, you know, you can do anything in this life. Dream big. Dream big. Don't let your circumstances or your surroundings hold you back. Don't allow yourself to feel like a victim. You know, be brave enough to have a dream and to verbalize it and put it out there. And there will be people that snigger. There will be people that laugh. There will be people that make fun of you for having a dream. That's just because they're not ambitious or they haven't been told the best things or raised the right way. But yeah, I always tell them, work your goddamn ass off, believe in yourself, and go for it. Anthony.
Yeah, mine's very similar. I always to all my kids, I push max effort. I don't really care if you make mistakes. I'm not too worried about the mistakes. So you can fix that, especially if we're talking sports or whatever. Mistakes are easy to fix. You know, you go back, you fix it. If you continue to make the same mistake, then you got to make a better. You got to give more effort to fixing the mental part of it. But I don't care if my kids win. I don't care if they lose. I don't care how competitive they are. As long as they're giving 150% and their max effort and they're doing the absolute best they can and trying as hard as they can, the outcome doesn't fucking matter to me. I don't care at all. That's the same with schoolwork, with their friendships, with anything in any part of their life. As long as they're giving me max effort, they're good with me. And that's that's what I've always pushed. And I think that as long as you translate that to every part of your life, whether that's, you know, I give max effort as a parent, I give max effort in practice, I give max effort in every single one of my fights, I give max effort in my marriage. Do I always fucking get it right? No, but I try real fucking hard. And that's how I always look at it. I'm not a perfect parent, but I give it all I got. And, you know, I think that message is very similar to yours.
Yeah, well, I'm far from perfect parent, but you get out what you put in with anything in life. You know what I mean? If you whatever you put in, if you put in half the amount of effort in, you're going to get half the results. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. You can't expect to half-ass it and still get to the top. You know what I mean? There's always people out there working harder. There's always people that want it more. There's always people that are going to undermine you, overstep you, talk shit about you, you know, play dirty. You know what I mean? But if you're working your ass off and you're capable and you're good at what you do and you believe yourself and you stay the course, then you might just get there. Sometimes you need a good look. Sometimes you need a good break. You know, sometimes you might win the goddamn fucking lottery. Who knows? You know, but if you, what you get out, what you put in, like, for example, look at Leon Edwards.
Right.
There's a guy. There's a guy in the background. He was overlooked, underrated, wasn't getting the respect. And now the man is the goddamn king of the world when it comes to the welterweight division.
It's the king of England.
Is the shit. I'm the king of England. You guys take care. Bye-bye.